pocket more brakes. Help both of us, amen. I like the notion of having this all in one day too, because you know, notice that when you have it on several different nights at a church, a lot of people have to miss certain nights, and you really need every bit of this. You need every section of it. So,
hey, brother.
Yeah. Ooh, how about that? How about that? Well, mercy. Yeah, right. You know, and I'll be honest with you, I know we got some Amazing Grace people here, and they know how much I love them, so they know I'm not saying it definitely against them, but I felt ever since this has been set up that for some reason or another, the Lord's really going to pour out a special blessing for this teaching at Liberty. So I don't mean that somebody's getting the best, because every teaching's been different, every one of them, but I really felt like there was something special about this day. And I don't know what it is, but the Lord does. So I prayed all along. I said, Lord, I know you're the one that does the work, but I pray that you'd help me give them my best. That's what I want. So the next section we want to talk about, we're talking about God's plan for the Christian home. We talked about the structure of the home. And we talked about the foundation being the Lord Jesus Christ, and the floor being the Word. And we need to stand on that floor, folks. That's what a floor's for. Walk on it. Stand on it. And not be afraid to stand on it. And, you know, the first step of rekindling an old flame, or straightening out a fellowship between a husband and a wife, is to straighten out our fellowship with God. You know, and if we're going to rekindle an old flame, we got to rekindle that old flame with the Lord. I know some of you in here hadn't had a relationship with the Lord very long, so you'll know one of these days what I'm talking about. It'll get cold. It'll happen. You know, you got to rekindle that thing. And I will say this, that if you're right with God, you won't have that much problem being right with your husband or your wife. If we'll get that personal relationship straightened out, it'll make it a whole lot easier. So, number one thing that I say, there'd be a few steps here this really could make a difference in our marriage. The first thing is be certain of your salvation. And I didn't come here to preach to the lost today. You know, maybe we don't have anybody in here that is lost, but we need to be certain. And if you are saved and you have doubts, I believe you ought to know you've been born again. You ought to be sure about it. And you need to ask God to help you to be sure about it. You need to be grounded in it. You know, an unequal yoke produces a relationship that's totally out of balance. And I'm going to tell you something. If one person's sure of their salvation, the other's not, that balance is not going to be there. You both need to know you've been born again. You both need to know that you've been saved, that you're a child of God, that there's been a rebirth happening in your life. Amen? You need that. And 2 Peter 1:10 says, Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do those things, you shall never fall. You need to make it sure. If I had to give one piece of advice for a young Christian, that one little thing that I think could help them the rest of their days as being a Christian, is that you need to know that you've been born again. I mean, you need to know it. You say, Brother Dennis, I don't believe anybody can know it. I do. I know it. I hadn't always known it, but I know I'm headed to heaven. I don't ever worry about going to hell. I don't worry about waking up tomorrow and realizing I'm really lost. I know I'm there. I know I'm headed there. And it changes my whole Christian walk to have that kind of confidence and that kind of faith in my Lord that when He saved me, He done it right. We need to have that. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. You know, I've had Christian people in my lifetime, maybe had preachers tell me this. Well, Brother Dennis, you don't confuse people. I hope I can confuse you. The Bible says examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. You ought to know that. Hey, can't nobody confuse me. I know I got it. Amen. You need to know you got it. Well, you can rejoice in the fact that your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's nothing like knowing it. There's a peace that you've got that you can get, you can handle just about anything that is thrown your way because you know you've got a home in heaven one day. And you can handle problems that come your way because you know you'll not have those problems one day after a while. You need to have that kind of confidence and that kind of faith in a marriage. You need to be certain of your salvations. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but he who confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You know, James 5:16 says, confess ye faults one to another and pray one for another. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We ought to be certain of our salvation. You need to know you've been saved. And I'll tell you this, if one of you's not, you're going to have a problem. It's going to be hard. If that other person in your family's not saved, they're never going to see it your way because they don't have that seed in them that's in you. Never, y'all, you're going to be out of balance. I ain't saying that if one of them's not saved, y'all split up. No, sir, you stay with them. You hang in there and you pray and let the Lord fix that thing. But it ain't never going to be like it ought to be until that happens. The next thing you need to be is once you know that, you need to be committed to the Savior. You need to be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about being committed to each other a while ago. Marriage is a thing about commitment. It's not about love. I'm going to be honest with you. It may be an ugly statement, but I've been saved 37 years and I ain't always been in love with the Lord like I am right here in this very minute. Just like, and I'll go ahead and tell you this, the whole 15, almost 16 years me and Vicky's been together, I ain't always been in love with her. It's died at times. Scared me. Didn't know what to do. I finally realized what to do. It's real simple. Pray. Amen. Well, I'm finna get ahead of myself. Let me get back here. We're gonna get in that good rich stuff out of a while, amen. First of all, we need to be committed to Jesus in our worship life. Amen. You gotta get that thing down if you want help for your home. God, sure Lord, ain't gonna bless you if all you do is work on your home life and don't work on your church home life, amen. You gotta be committed. You know what? I ain't telling none of y'all nothing. I don't know why. I'm preaching to the choir this morning. Every one of y'all's obviously committed. You gave up a Saturday during football season, amen? To come down here and get some help for your home. And I know some of y'all, Lord mercy, you're going to be worried out wondering where Georgia's winning or Alabama's winning or Auburn's winning or Tennessee's winning or what. You know what? You committed or you wouldn't have been here today. You would not put forth the effort to been here today if you had not been committed to your Savior. You got to be committed to the Savior in your worship life. Woo! If you're not faithful to God's house, what do you think He's going to be to you when your home starts falling apart? What do you expect Him to do? Think about it. Do you realize, and I know we've all, sometimes people got work that takes them away from church. I know that. And I know people got to take vacations. I like them. I think a fellow ought to take 4 a year. I think that'll just be in the books. Amen. 4 vacations a year. Of course, we got some members that take 40. They put the zero on the end. Amen. And every once in a while you walk up to them and you say, I'd like to let you know you're welcome at our church. And they say, hey, I'm a member here. They take so many vacations, you think they're just a visitor that pops in every once in a while. You gotta be committed to the Lord in your worship life. You gotta show God you mean business. You know what too? Do you know God loves you so much, and He's done this for me before, that He'll have a crowd of say 150, 200 people in this sanctuary on Sunday morning, and you'll have a problem in an area of your life, and He'll send a message directly for you to help you and that whole crowd. And what's going to happen if you done laid out of church and decide you'd rather go to a race? You ain't going to be there for that message. And then if you, I'll be honest with you. I tried to teach this in my Sunday school class here one time. It takes forever. It takes forever to try to teach us in Sunday school class. And I had couples that would show up about once every 2 months. And then their home just all tore to pieces. Not trying to be ugly about it, but what did they expect? The Lord sent them a Sunday school class. I told them ahead of time, I said, you need to be here every time you can, unless you can't help it, because God's going to give you help. They missed blessings that God had to help them. No doubt there's people that wanted to be here today that couldn't. But there's going to be, probably, we could have filled this room up with the people that like football better than they did their home. They put their children ahead of this teaching. They put a little bit of everything ahead of this teaching. There's people that's probably going to have problems that they could have gotten help in their life today had they been here. And I'm not being sarcastic. I'm just trying to tell you that you need to be committed to your worship life. If you got to be committed to God, you got to be there when the Lord comes down. I've had people come to me, every time I'm going away from church, y'all break out and meet. And I'd hate to say that. Be there more. Be there more. Maybe you won't miss it. Or maybe that's stumbling block. I don't know. I'd worry about it. Wonder if I wasn't in the wrong place anyway. But be committed to your worship life. Be committed to your work life. Your work life. I believe work habits rub off on the rest of your life. I'm sorry. I guess it's because I've been self-employed for 20-something years. You work hard, God will bless you. I try to tell my boys that if you'll be a hard worker, you won't never do without, because God will bless you because you work like He told you to. Amen. The Bible teaches us we're not to be slothful. The Bible teaches us to consider the ant. I ain't seen ants take too many days off, except maybe when it's raining. I guess they're in a construction business, ain't they? They'll take off when it rains. You know, well, ants, as soon as it gets through rain, they'll go to work, won't they? You know, and if you're lazy in your work life, you're going to be lazy in the rest of your life. You ought to work hard. The Bible says to find something to do with your hands and do it with all you might, with everything you got. And God is not going to bless you until you learn how to work for a living. Amen. There's too many people in this country thinks that people owe them something. I had a fellow make a statement to me about a week ago. He said he's got his own business now. You know what his excuse was for getting his own business? I doubt God ever blesses it. I don't know. I guess I'm being judgmental. He said, I got tired of making money for the other man. Why do you think they gave you a job? I don't give people a job because I like the color of their hair. I give people a job to help me make a living to pay my bills. I'm just being honest. And whether you work for Georgia Power or McDonald's or whoever you work for, I don't care who it is. The reason you're working for them is to make them money. If you got that kind of attitude, shame on you. Shame on you. Think somebody owes you something. You know why they got you there? It's to make them money. I've always had this feeling. I need to examine people. If they're not at least making me back what I'm paying them, and I'll do that. I'll go that far with it. I need to get shed of them. If they costing me money working there, I need to get rid of them. My business is going to go under because I'm going to start going in the negative. Before long, I'm going to look around and say, hey, we got to shut her down. I done spent all my money on these lazy employees and now I ain't got a business no more. Amen. Your work life is going to rub off on your home life. You got to get that thing straightened out. Your war life. Well, what do you mean, Brother Dennis, your war life? You young Christians, let me tell you something. You've done got drafted in a war. This thing is a warfare. You're going to fight it. And one reason this teaching is so important is because this life is going to be so hard for you, you're going to need that relationship you've got set beside you there. You're going to need it to be strong. You're going to need it to be good. I'm going to tell you something. The Lord's allowed me. I'm going to say it like that, and I'm going to praise His holy name for the things I've been through. These things I've been through in my life, I've turned around and looked at Vicky with tears in my eyes, and I said, praise God for His mercy that me and you's right. Ain't nothing else in my life right now right. Boy, I went through a time when my business wasn't right, the money wasn't right, looked like I was going down the tubes. I didn't feel like I belonged at my home church anymore. Everything was telling me, everything was falling apart, and I turned and looked at my wife, and everything's right. Praise God for His grace. Sure, I'm glad that's right. Don't know what I'd have done if that wouldn't have been right. Boy, you need that, and you gotta have that, because we are in a war. You can't just depend on yourself in a war. You gotta depend on that right next to you. You're going to need them. You're going to need to remember to be committed to Jesus in your war life. And let me tell you what you're going to have to quit doing. You're going to have to quit visiting the enemy's camp. Stay out from there. That's something I read about. I don't know how in the world. I guess because we was ready from the same country. We was fighting amongst ourselves. But in the Civil War, them boys, they'd call the end of a battle, and they'd come together in their camps at night and play checkers and play cards and eat with one another. North and the South, the enemies, they'd visit the enemy's camp. I can't understand that. That blows my mind. But let me tell you something. You need to stay out of the enemy's camp, folks. We got an enemy. And it's our adversary, the devil. And the Bible also teaches us that if we're friends with the world, we're an enemy to a God. You need to quit dangling around out there in the world and grabbing a hold of all the gusto of the world. You ain't got no business out there. You know, you need to walk through this thing unscathed. We're to be insulated, not isolated. You need to keep that insulation on. You need to be committed to Jesus in your war life and in your wedded life. You need to remember, you need to have it His way and not your way. Not only that, you need to be committed to the Savior. You need to be committed to your spouse. Amen? If you're committed to your spouse, you know, let me turn to the book of Genesis. You can turn with me if you want to. Book of Genesis, chapter number 2, and verse number, let's go verse number 21, amen. Let's go verse number 20. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found an help for him. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. Be some good advice in that for our young folks, y'all. You know, y'all teach your children if they want to find the right mate for them, they need to go to sleep and quit digging. Go to sleep and let the Lord just wake up one day and there they are. Let Him handle it, amen. And you mamas and daddies, that's good advice for you too. Let the Lord handle it. We think we know everything that's right for our children. Well, you know what we'll do in churches? We'll pick out mates for our children when they're about that tall in the church house. And let me just go ahead and tell you, you might as well give up on that. It ain't going to be like what you think. You better let God handle it. Keep your hands off of it. Amen. Go to sleep. Go to sleep, parents. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, leave, amen, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Listen to me, folks. God plans for us to be committed to our spouse. All marriages stand a lot better chance for survival if we will have an independence from our in-laws. Lord have mercy. I think so far, these two couples right here would have to admit this. I'm there for them if they need anything. It's my two children. That's my four children. Let me change that. I've also put that philosophy in my family. These two are my sons. They're not my son-in-laws. They're my sons. I'm going to stay out of their business. If I hear of them having a little spat and a little brawl, I ain't going to run down there and break a door down and try to straighten it out. Unless they go to hitting on them, man. That includes Justin and Jake, too, amen. I'm going to get involved as long as I'm physically able. But listen, they left my nest. They don't need Mom and Daddy to be involved in all their affairs. If you ain't out from under Mom and Daddy's wings, Mom and Daddy's finances, you need to get away from it. Let me tell you something, Mom and Daddy. The worst thing you can do is to do everything for your children. It's almost sickening when you see the way some parents, I'm talking about Christian parents, the way they do their children. They get married and leave their house, and Lord of mercy, they can't even keep their own lives up or worry about trying to keep their children's lives up. doing everything for. Let them. You got to let go of them. They're their own family now. You got to let them make their own mistakes. You got to let them grow. And if you don't let them hit bottom every once in a while and fall, God's never going to be able to teach them anything. You need to cleave, but you also need to leave. Amen. You know, let me tell you what you got to do. In other words, we're almost to the next section. Amen. You must come to the place to where you love him or her more than anything or anyone except the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to do that. Mamas, I know that's tough for you with them babies. If you love your babies more than you do your husband, you ain't right with God. You got it out of order. We're going to talk about that later too. Do you know God's got an order for everything? Boy, he's really showed me the importance of that here lately in my life. He's got an order for everything. And you know, if God's going to bless you, you've got to get your order right in every phase of your life, or if at work, if it's at church, or if it's at the house. Don't no matter where it is, there's an order to be made, and God's put it that way for a reason. We got to get in our place, and we got to stay in our place. There is an order. Amen. You got to love that mate. That love's got to surpass anything or anyone except for the Lord. Now, we talked about God's plan for a Christian home. And now we're going to talk about God's plan for a Christian husband. Amen. God's plan for a Christian husband. I might not be able to break this thing off right at lunch. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go as far as we can with this. And we'll just come back right where we left off. Amen. I tell you what I want you to do, though, since I am a little old seven, I wish you would just stand your feet and stretch your legs. We're going to need this today, y'all. I know this is going to be lengthy. Stand your feet and stretch your legs a little bit. I know it'll help you, especially some of you that's got back problems. Stretch your legs. Some of y'all fellas going to need that. Hey, you know, it's probably worked out pretty good. That what's going to happen is between this section on the husband, we're going to have a break for lunch. Y'all fellas going to need it because you ain't going to be able to get it all day at one time. You're going to have to have a break to swallow some of it and digest some of it. Lord have mercy, it's going to be tough. Woo! Y'all fellas fixing to hear some things you ain't never heard before. Oh, Lordy. You know why you stretching? I will say this. We're talking about building a home. And we talked about the Lord Jesus Christ being the foundation. And then, you know, the floor being the Word of God. And that's what we walk on. And, you know, I don't know much about building a house, so I say the next thing's the walls, ain't it? That's where the husband comes in. Husbands, you the walls of that home. Now, Brother Dennis, why do you say that you're the walls of that home? Well, you hold the place up. You the strength. You know, that's something I didn't know. I built a two-story house. I guess, it's cheaper to build a two-story house. I guess the reason I did it, because I always try to do things a little bit smart with money. But one thing that builder taught me, he said, now, we need to make sure we pick you out some good lumber, especially for these floors of downstairs, because these floors are going to support that whole house up there. I didn't think about that. I didn't know much about building. But them little old skinny 2x4s has got to hold that whole thing up. So you know what they did to make it stronger? Instead of 16-inch centers, and some of y'all, this is old news, y'all, they put it on 12-inch centers, put them close together, which it required more wood, more lumber. So husbands, you are the strength of the house. You're what holds it up. You're what holds the roof over the head. You hold up the protection against the elements in that home. You're the stronghold. You are the strength. You're the thing that surrounds that home and establishes strength. And this, you ladies are coming on this here just a little bit. Not only that, you're for protection and you're for support. But you know, I noticed one thing about them fellows is which I know in the old time they used a plumb line. But now they got a level. Like them junkers that put that piece of wall up, they built a wall first of all, and then they'd hold it up. They'd hold that level around every corner. And that old bubble would have to float in the middle. And I finally figured out why, because they want it to be perfectly straight up and down. You know, fellas, the walls in your home is very important that you're plumb. Straight up and down. You know, if you're not, you're going to throw everything else off in that home. You know, some of you, some of us, reason things ain't quite right in our home or things didn't go quite right, maybe the raising of our children, is because my wall probably wasn't as straight up and down as it should have been. You see, there's a lot more required of us men. I'm going to be harder on you than anybody. because there's a lot more required of us. We've got to be straighter than anything else in that house, because if we don't, everything else we build around it ain't going to fit. It's going to be out of whack and out of sorts if we're not straight up and down. Let me find my glasses, amen. So, God's plan for the Christian husband. First of all, he must be a leader. But let's go back over here. I didn't read but one verse of Scripture. Let's turn back to Ephesians, amen, about where you was at. Y'all look over me being ham scram. I'm just excited about what I'm doing today. I believe in what I'm doing today. Ephesians chapter number 5. We read verse number 21. We'll read it again. Submitting. We'll read this a bunch, as a matter of fact. Submitting yourselves one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. We'll go back to that after a while. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, the church is subject unto Christ. So let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now, we must be a leader. We see here in verse number 23 that it says that we're to be the head of the wife. The man is responsible for the spiritual climate in the home. The husband's going to give an account before the Lord concerning his leadership in the home. You are responsible for it. I know you've heard your pastors say many a times that, you know, Brother Ken is responsible for this church. He's responsible for the spiritual climate of this church. I've said this before. Brother David is responsible for the spiritual climate at Amazing Grace. If you ever got any doubt about how the service is going, is it a shout out? Is it a blow out? Is it a hallelujah? Is it a settle down and teaching kind of thing? Or maybe it's a salvation kind of thing. It just gets quiet. You know how you can figure that thing out? Look at you, Pastor. You know what I do when I wonder what's going on? I look over there. Brother Ken Bowman. You know why? Because he is a spiritual thermometer of Liberty Baptist Church. Ladies, if you really want to know how your home's going, you should be able to look at that man. Man, I don't know if y'all realize that. That is one more big responsibility. A lot of y'all probably said before, well, I'm glad I'm not the pastor of that church. I'm glad I ain't got all that on me. You do. You got your own little old flock at the house. Son, you're responsible for that flock, and you're going to answer for everything that goes on in that house. Do you know that everything in that house is going to go according to you? Do you know this? That Amazing Grace ain't going no further than you, Brother David. Liberty Baptist Church ain't going no further than Brother Ken. And 830 Watts Road ain't going to go no further than Dennis Rollins. Your address, your house ain't going to go no further than you, man. That's how far it's going to go. If your home is spiritually dead, it's because of you. It ain't because of the world. It ain't because of your wife and your children. It ain't because of your job and your finances. It's because of you. You are the ultimate responsibility for that home. Ladies, that ought to release you. Some of you trying to be in the driver's seat. Maybe you need to scoot over and just let him have it. You really don't want it. Amen. All these ladies pretending to be preachers and pastors. All this women's lib movement back in the 60s and 70s didn't do nothing but disrupt this whole area of submission that God had intended for the home and for the church and for this country and for this world. Amen. You didn't just scoot over and let him have it. You don't want that responsibility. Because he's going to make a ton of mistakes and he's going to have to answer for every single one of them. And you won't have to. You know what you're going to answer for, ladies? I'm going to get ahead of the lady just for a little bit. You're going to have to answer to how you submit. You know what? I'm a member of Liberty Baptist Church. You know what I'm going to have to answer to? How I submit to the Lord and that pastor. That's it. I'm done. I got the easy thing out of Brother David. I just come in and preach and be a blessing every once in a while. You know what I'm teaching this class? I ain't teaching it to Dennis Rollins. I'm not trying to build up a name for Dennis Rollins to create other seminars that I can go to and teach on this subject. I'm here to be a blessing to Brother Ken Bowman. To bring glory to God and to help Brother Ken Bowman. Maybe he's got so much on him that the Lord couldn't give him this teaching. Maybe physically he can't handle it, so God had me to do it through him. I'm submitting through him. I'm teaching for him. You're actually hearing from your pastor this morning because I'm under him where I'm supposed to be. You know what, ladies? You won't have no problem whatsoever the way you're raising your children if you'll submit to daddy. Because you know what you'll do? All you're going to be doing is doing daddy's job for him and helping him do his job. Y'all get what I'm saying? It all falls down. It's a military thing. This thing about submission is a military term. The military's got different positions and areas, and it goes all the way up to the commander-in-chief, amen. Whether you like him or not, Mr. Bush is our commander-in-chief, and you ought to have respect for him. The Lord God is our commander-in-chief, and next highest, I don't know what the next rank is, I ain't never been in the military, but whatever it is, that's what Brother Ken is in this place. That's what Brother David is at Amazing Grace. And if you can't submit there, you in trouble. If you can't submit at home, you can't submit to your pastor. If you can't, vice versa. If you can't submit to your boss at work, you ain't going to submit to your pastor. It all works together. If you'll get where you're supposed to be, son, this thing will flow smooth as silk. Because God's got a plan and it's fail-proof. You must be a leader. You must be a lover. That's right. Verse number 25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You say, well, Brother Dennis, I ain't got no problem with it. I'd die for my wife in a heartbeat. I hope you would. If you wouldn't, you a wimp. I'd die quickly. I can't even think of some more people I'd take a bullet for. Amen. I would for Brother David. Would for Brother Ken. I don't know if I'm, yeah, some more people in here I could take a bullet for. Some of you, I like to say that I could, but don't know if I could. Maybe if it got down to it, maybe I could do that. I hope to say that I would. But I know there's some I definitely would. But one of them's that little woman back there. And somebody messes with her. I don't know. I know God can do anything. Don't get me wrong. But, ooh-wee. That's my little woman. I don't know about messing with my little woman now. I won't be a lover, you know. But sure, I'd die for her. What else would I do for her? What kind of love did Christ have for the church? First of all, it was a selfless love. And I didn't say selfish, man. I said selfless. That means you really don't care about yourself. You don't care about pleasing yourself. You care about pleasing her. That's all you care about. You could care less about pleasing yourself. In other words, every once in a while, instead of going watching the ball game on Saturday, you might even go shopping with her. Let that soak in a little bit. If you selfless instead of selfish, there's a lot of things you'll do, fellas. A lot of things you do. If you selfish instead of selfless, you won't say, well, bless God, I bought my wife a new car. She's driving into something nice, and here I am still driving this old piece of iron. That's selfish. That's not selfless. That's selfish. Bless God, it's my turn now. That's selfish. That's not selfless. Selfless is when you say, bless God, that's my baby doll. She's going to drive into something better than me. I don't care what I got to do. And I tell you another thing, too. If I'm going to sit here and teach, amen, I ain't just going to teach it and preach it. I'm going to live it. My wife's going to have better than me. If I get to the point where I can have good, she's going to have gooder. Yeah, man. That's right. No matter what it is, she's going to have good. If she needs a new pair of shoes and I need a new pair of shoes, she'll get a pair first. Amen. Put her first. Christ put you first. He didn't have no fault for himself when he died for you. When he left the heaven and come down and gave up everything that he had for you, he gave it for you. He wasn't thinking about him. The Bible said that he could have called legions of angels to deliver him off of that cross. But he stayed there for you. He suffered for you. It was a selfless thing. He did not think about himself. Not only was it selfless, it was sacrificial. He gave up. Let me tell you something, fellas. You're not going to be able to take care of your wife unless you give up some things. You're going to have to sacrifice some selfless things to get things right in your home. You got to give up some things. You may have to give up a job where you can spend more time. You may have to give up your hobbies where you can spend more time. I made a lot of mistakes in my life growing up and had to suffer for them. A lot of things in my life happened just because of me. Didn't know it until years later, Brother David. Boy, I tell you what, I see some young men making the same mistakes I made. God help you. I'm going to be honest with you. I tell you what I'll do. I got four of my young'uns here. I act like I'm talking to them where y'all won't take so much offense, amen. I love them. I care about them. I'm going to be straight as I can with them. I'll be the same way about you. Let me tell you something, young man. You might have to give up some things for your wife. Quit being so selfless. You may have to sacrifice ball games sometimes. You may have to sacrifice hunting. Whatever your hobbies and your extra time is. Are you giving in your extra time to your wife? Are you doing that? You got to sacrifice. You know what you all do sometimes? You got kids. What you all do? How many of y'all both got Saturdays off most of the time? Both of you mates, raise your hand. You know what y'all do every once in a while, fellas? Instead of you going out and doing your thing, if you can't do something together, y'all do stuff together a lot. What y'all do every once in a while just to sacrifice is y'all say, hey, baby, go out and go shopping today with your mama or your two or three friends at church, and I'm keeping the kids today. I'm keeping them. Don't you worry about a thing. I'm going to take care of it. That'd do you more good than anything you could do. Some of you say, well, these rich men, they just buy a diamond ring and bring it home. Everything's good. Yeah, for about 2 days. I tell you what, you do something like that right there, and that'll last a good 2 weeks. Won't cost you nothing except giving up some of your time. Sometimes that's all in the world a woman wants is for you to give up some of your time for them. That's all they... I mean, I found Vicky requires very little. She wants some of my time. She wants to be with me. And they love to see when you actually sacrifice and give it. Don't do it when it's convenient. It won't mean as much. Do it when it hurts. Do it when somebody's offered you tickets to the Alabama-Auburn game or the Georgia-Georgia Tech game. That's when you dig in there and go do something with that little woman, amen. That's when it'll mean something because you know what you're doing, then you sacrificing. You do it in a time where it's convenient. You ain't done nothing. That's the way most of us men are. They'll say, well, I ain't got a thing in the world to do today. I'm just bored. I believe today I'll do like Brother Dennis said. Hey, baby, you go on and go shopping. I'll take care of the kids. That ain't going to mean much. You need to do it on a day when you had something going on. That's called sacrificing. Get what hurts. That's sacrificing. Woo! Sacrificial and steadfast. Your love is to be steadfast, fellas. You don't just love on her. I'm going to go down here to this couple. Because this right here is most like my wife as any of them. Ty, you're going to have to love on her and be sweet to her when she's barking at you like a mad dog. That's steadfast. That's sacrifice. You see, what you want to do is you want to turn around and bark right back and show who the boss is, bless God. I've been there and done that too, amen. And I'm not going to say there ain't times when that needs to be done. But listen, you're going to have to learn to still give her that tender love, even especially when she's like that. She's different from you. She's different from you. She's different from you. They're weird, ain't they, fellas? I mean, y'all so much different from us, it ain't even funny. And we ain't never going to figure it out. But let me tell you what you got to do. You got to love them regardless. That's what the Lord did unconditionally. Wow. You say, you know, I'm going to be honest. That's a lot of time in church. I sit down and I just get to feeling so bad. Brother Ken lived out all of his wild days and then the Lord saved him. I got saved 11 years old and then I had some wild days. And I get feeling sorry for myself. Well, and I'm going to be honest with you, for years there, I was confused about my salvation, brother. I said, well, Lord, did I get saved then, or did I get saved when I finally gave my life to you and dedicated myself? God, when did I get saved? I get so confused, but you know what? I got a little dose of that unconditional love. Lord saved me in 1970. Knowing for about a year and a half, 2 years of my life, I was just going to be, I'm going to be honest with y'all this morning, I was just going to be a sorry old drunk. I was going to go to parties. I was going to use, I wouldn't buy drugs, but I'd use them. I was going to have different wives. Never had been married, but I ain't going to go there, but y'all study your Bible out. Had a lot of different wives I shouldn't have, Brother David. I'm just being honest with y'all this morning. You know the Lord saved me knowing I was going to do that? A lot of preachers are preaching me into hell. You never did get saved, boy. I got news for them. Yes, I was. But you know what? The Lord's love is unconditional. Did you know your bearing in heaven don't have nothing to do with how good you are? It has all to do about how good He is. You know what, Ty? You need to love her regardless of how good she is to you, because that's why the Lord loved me and you. Woo! Don't that make it easier? Woo! Boy, she ain't loved on you in a long time. Don't appreciate what you do. Don't appreciate what a good man you are. Just love her to death anyway. That's why the Lord loved us. He loved me knowing what I was going to be. Regardless of how bad I get, it don't change His love for me. A lot of people think, well, I've slipped up and I got called on God. Now He don't love me anymore. Now He don't care about me anymore. Wrong again. He is still loving on you. Fellas, that's why you got to be with that little woman. No matter what she does to get you upset, you just keep loving on her. If you're going to love her like the Lord loved the church, that's what you must do. You got to get it down, fellas. Even when she tries to rise above you, you gotta let pray to God take care of that thing. She's trying to be the boss of the home. She'll get right with God after a while. You love her to death. Just keep loving her. She ain't doing everything right. Just keep loving her. Love on her. Unconditional. Y'all see, have I painted a little bit of a clear picture about how the Lord loves us? And that's the way we all love our wives. It's an unconditional type of love. It really don't matter. Lord of mercy. How easy it is for us to love somebody that loves on us. I'd be in trouble. So the Lord most time puts two different people together. He did me and Vicky. I'm the kind that says, I love you, baby. Hugs, squeezes, touches. I'm a lovey, touchy, feely, I love you, baby kind of thing. Vicky, it's going to shock all y'all. I would dare to say Vicky has probably not told me over 30 or 40 times in 16 years she's loved me. When we first got married, that tear me apart, brother Mike. I'd go, she just don't love me. If she loved me, she'd tell me. But she ain't that kind of person that conveys love that way. You know what? I just kept on loving her anyway. I didn't get rid of her. I didn't walk out because she didn't get up every morning and make me breakfast and come love me and say, oh, I just want you to know, baby, I love you before you leave, darling. I don't think she's ever called me darling. She ain't that kind. That ain't the way she shows love. She shows in a different way than what I do. You know how she shows love for me? I've said this a lot of times. I can mention one time during the week, I'm out of this or I'm out of that. You know what she'll do? She'll come home with it. You'll say she's got a good memory. Wrong again. You know why she brought it home? Because she's thinking about the one she loves. You know why she'll have fix something later on in the week? Because I mentioned it earlier in the week. You know why she'll bring a certain type of groceries home? Because she heard me while I was watching the commercial. She said, boy, I'd like to try that. See, that's love. And it may be reversed for some of you. It may be the woman that's the lovey, touchy, feely, and the man ain't. Look for ways that he does show love. He may show it a different way. And most of the time, God's going to put those two. Most of the time, not every time, but I dare to say that, I don't know how many couples we got here, more, maybe 15, 16. I dare to say 13 of you is that way. The other one shows love more than the other one does verbally. I've seen and heard of people that tell it verbally but really don't mean it. I've heard tell real close about people that told somebody they loved them and 4 hours later they'd left them. So words come easy. My wife taught me that. My wife taught me a lot of things. Words come easy. It's the other things that really mean something. Lord mercy, this is so different, Vicky, ain't it? I'm learning so much. I'm going to be so good for a little while. Then maybe the Lord's going to have me go teach it somewhere else. Woo. But hey, you know what though? You really can build on it. You don't have to just take it in and live for a few days and then just forget about it. You can build on it and it can gradually get better because it has for me and her. I ain't scared to say that in front of her. She'll amen it. Say amen. She ain't no big amener. He must be a lover. Listen to this, fellas. I want to ask you a question first of all. I do want a show of hands. How many men in here, even if your wife is, would love for your wife to be submissive in every area in your life? Even if she is already, go ahead and raise your hand. You'd like for her to be submissive. Let me tell you how she will. When you love her after the manner that we just talked about, they're responders. Sure, they're responders. You know why? You know how another way you can compare this right here? Because we're responders to the Lord. We're His bride. You know how you can know that you're part of the bride of Christ? It's when He makes advances, you respond to Him. If the Lord ever comes down in a meeting and makes these touchy-feely, loving kind of notions towards you, and you don't respond to it, you know why you don't? Because you're not His bride. Now, I wouldn't do this. Tell you what, I'd do it to my own daughter where it'll be proper, okay? Now, she'll respond to him. That's her husband. But this is pretend she ain't my daughter. Now, if I were to come up and touchy-feely on her like you shouldn't do, amen, to other sisters, she wouldn't respond to me in the right kind of way. You know why? Because she ain't my bride. But that one right back there will. You know, an old devil, he'll get notions in your head that you need you another woman or you need you another man that might respond a little bit different. Ain't none of them going to respond like yours will. Let me tell you something, folks. One reason that these folks in the church house, us preachers, drive ourselves crazy trying to figure out why people never respond to the Holy Ghost is because they ain't part of the bride. If I love her the way I should, if I love her like Christ loved the church, she will respond to me. I've never seen a meeting just really break out with the power of God where God's children didn't respond. In some kind of way, there's going to be a response. Fellas, if you want her to be a responder to you and you want her to do things the way you want to, you're going to have to love her the way Christ loved the church. You have got to. Glory to God, we got about 15 minutes for lunch. I hope we get done at 4. Amen. He must be a lover. He must be a laborer. Let's read verse number 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify it. Let's just drop on down to verse number 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. This is a huge, I wrote huge beside this when the Lord really revealed this to me. This is a huge verse of Scripture right here. Listen, fellas, when you really get to the point to where you do everything right for your wife, you may think, well, that's going to spoil her. I'm going to spoil her rotten. And she ain't going to be no good. Wrong again. If you love your wife in that manner, you ain't spoiling her, you spoiling you. Because you're going to reap the benefits of it. You see, it says here, he that loveth his wife loveth his own body. If you want to have it good, you're going to have to make it good for her. If you love her like this Bible says and like you should, you're the one going to reap the benefits from it. You're going to have a marriage that you've only seen in the movies. And that you've only read about in books. You're going to have the kind of feelings that you thought didn't really exist. You know why? Because you finally got it right. If you want to get what you want, fellas, you got to give her what she wants. If you want to get what you need, you got to give her what she needs.
You got to. If you love her, you love your own body. And listen to this next scripture. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but he nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord his church. The Lord nourishes and cherishes the church. If you want to take care of you, you need to take care of her. The better you treat her, the better you're going to get treated. Amen. You say, well, bless God, don't work that way in my home. Hang in there. Hang in there. It will. It needs to be a lover. It needs to be a laborer. You're going to have to work at it. You know, the problem is most of us men, we cease our labor as soon as the wedding's over with and the honeymoon. We quit where we work so hard. Well, we work hard on when we're dating, don't we, fellas? We know all the right words to say, all the right things to do, and all the right cologne to wear. Now, I know men used to put on cologne when they date, don't even wear it no more. Well, it got quiet here, didn't it? Fellas, you just put on what you like, or you put on what your wife likes. You know what? I think that's a pretty good thing. Now, y'all may not agree with this, but I let Vicky help me pick out my cologne. I don't care what your wife thinks about what I smell like. And nor should I. But I care about what she likes to smell on me. Should be that when I was dated, why shouldn't I be that way now? Amen? You need to be a laborer. You need to quit. So you get lazy. We talked about earlier about being lazy. Fellas, we get lazy. We got to work hard at it. You got to do little old things. I can tell you a bunch of things you can do. Some things I've done, some of them I ain't done in a while. I guess I got to get to doing them. I did this past week, couldn't it, Vicky? I got a little bit better about helping out around the house. Did a few little extra odd and ends before I could get up here and teach it, amen. See, you got to work at it. You got to do things out of the ordinary. Do things that require an effort, not the little old easy things. You know, Vicky's a trippo, Chief. It's like, I feel so sorry for her because she, well, now we're down to two kids, but she washed clothes for seven people. And you know, she lives at the washing machine. She lives there. It's constant. She's folding clothes, putting them up. You know how dumb I am? I'd come in there and there'd be a pile of clothes. I'd be tired and I'd get through watching TV. Just give out from watching TV. Wore out from working and watching TV and ball game. And walking there in the bed, not ready to go to bed, and look there on the bed, and there's a pile of clothes I got to put up. And I used to say, doggone clothes. I won't put them up tonight. You know what? I should tell you this. I say this now. I say, whoo, thank God Vicky Jean washed all my clothes. Let me get these things put up right quick. Change my attitude about it. And there's so many things you can do, fellas. It's unreal. Women don't like what we like. You think if you put you on a Tarzan suit and swing on a rope, she likes that. She don't care about that mess. You know what you need to do? You need to get home. When you get home early one day, you need to fix dinner and light a candle. Amen. You know, go out in a garden and find some flowers and break off some little petals and build her a trail. All the way to that tub full of hot water and bubble bath. And then have the smell of some supper cooking in there. You say, well, my wife don't deserve that. This ain't about what she deserves, it's about what you deserve. I told you a while ago, if you give her what she wants, you'll get what you want. She's a responder. The church is a responder to Christ. Women are responding to us. If we'll do it right, she'll do it right. That's the way it works. You see, we got it wrong order. We're sitting back waiting for the woman to make all the moves. That ain't the way it works, fellas. It works for us. And yet, y'all ladies don't get the notion, Brother Dennis is a romantic. I don't do this all the time. Holy Ghost, tell me right now, son, you done forgot about all this stuff you used to do, ain't you? You need to get to work. I done got lazy, Brother David. Got to go to work. I ain't just talking about the physical things. I'm going to tell you something. The older you get, fellas, the less physical you get, and the more you realize how important these things that a woman's always known are. That relationship of just being close and being together. When you start getting my age, you realize how important that is. It ain't just a physical thing.
You see, fellas, some of y'all young men's got this notion and this awful notion. And us men, when I was younger, we used to sit around and brag about it. And I've said it out of my mouth before. It's ugly, ladies. Y'all forgive me. I used to say a woman ain't nothing but a bed partner and a cook. And that's about the attitude of most young men. That's so far from the truth, it's unreal. Lord, huh? She's way, 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 way more than that. We'll get into some of that in a little bit too, amen. Y'all getting hungry? He must be a laborer. He should be a protector. You know, women have a deep-seated need to feel safe and protected. Even physically in the atmosphere of a home. Fellas, y'all ain't the kind of man that's protective you ought to be. Y'all show her, you ought to show her you ain't letting nothing happen to her. Make her feel safe. Get you a gun. Ain't wrong with that. Get you a gun. Put it where the kids can't get to it. But get you a gun. That makes a woman feel good knowing that man's going to protect her. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I hope y'all ain't part of that liberal movement about gun control. You don't need to take guns away from people. You need to take people away from guns, lock them up in prison or execute them, amen?
Yeah.
That's right. Then we wouldn't need the gun, I guess.
Yeah.
That's gun control. Get you a gun. Make her feel protected. That's all right. Amen. He should be a protector. He should be proactive. You know, that means that he, like Jesus, the husband, makes first move. You know, most of the time, especially when it comes to fusses, both spouses are set and wait for the other one to make the first move. You know, I had a problem with that for a long time, me and Vicky, until the Lord showed me this. I used to get so mad at her, I couldn't see straight. We'd fuss and wouldn't speak. And I'd say, this time, I ain't going to be the first one. I don't care what happens, hell, high water, it'd be a year from now, I ain't speaking. She still wouldn't. She never has. You know, the Lord did that for a reason. To show me that that was my responsibility. I'm the peacemaker. I'm the one that makes... Fellas, you're going to have to eat a lot of crow to be a good spiritual husband. You're going to have to learn to take a lot of stuff. You're going to have to learn to take the blame. Who else does this sound like? Lord took my blame, didn't he? You're going to have to learn to take a lot of stuff off of your wife. You're going to have to learn to accept it. You're going to have to learn to say it don't matter whose fault it is. I just want things to be right. It don't matter whose fault it is. Lord mercy, we're getting tired. The Bible teaches us the first move belongs to the husband. It seems like all these verses and all these things we're talking about require more of the husband than are the women, ain't it? You know why? Because it's just the truth. It does require more of the husband. The Bible teaches that. Now, with leadership, there also comes a greater amount of responsibility, folks. I tell you what we'll do. We'll break, since I got to this next little section, we'll break right there. And fellas, we'll let y'all go. Eat on this and digest it for a little while. And we'll get us some lunch. We'll come back and finish y'all up. Then it's the ladies' turn. So, y'all hang on to your hats. Y'all dismissed.